Now in session. Tracy, will you please call the roll?
Alderman Anthony.
Here.
Bessel Louie.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Here.
Maranti.
Here.
Morris.
Here.
Roney. Sauer.
Yeah.
Walker.
Here.
Wally.
Here.
President DiPietro.
Here.
Carried.
Thank you. Can I have an introduction to receive the call of the meeting and place it on file?
I will introduce.
And a second. Who was that second? Please identify yourself.
Art will second.
Okay, thank you, Art.
Wallace wants to first.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion carries. Before we get started, I have one quick announcement. Just for the public in general, as well as members of the board of the council. People are often wondering what's going on with DRI. Well, the main project, the second main project, the Hudson Connects project, now has a dedicated website. So if you go to Hudson Connects, you can see all about what's going on with the connectivity project of the DRI. Moving right along, we have five communications. May I have a motion to receive the communications?
Dewan received the communications.
Dewan was there first. Who's second? Art, was that you?
Sure, Art.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. The motion carries. So we have three resolutions. Let me remind you, a couple of reminders here. This is a special meeting. We cannot discuss things outside of the announced agenda of this meeting. Secondly, when it comes to the selecting a member for the Hudson Industrial Development Agency, we will not be taking public comment, but we will have a discussion amongst the council members. So anyway, the first resolution, Shaheen, would you post that, please? Okay, this resolution, as you know, comes from Alderman Wallace, and you've seen it. Let me start by getting an introduction. Do I have an introduction?
I'll introduce.
That's Ryan Wallace.
I second. Amber second.
Amber Harris seconds. Okay, any discussion? Please raise your hand. Vicki, you have your hand up.
Yes, so I was wondering, first of all, I think it's a wonderful idea. The only thing is, I don't know if we're a little bit late on this or not, because some people do their Valentine's plans in advance, a little bit more in advance, but that's okay. In case of a blizzard, do we have alternate date? That's my first question. And also I'd like to know if what is the bus capacity? If we don't end up having enough bookings, can we cancel one bus and get refunded for that?
We can cancel one bus. There is no backup plan. However, we would not be out any of the money if this gets canceled due to weather. So the hotel would refund directly to those that booked. And since they are booking separately with Wyndham, it would be between the guests that are booking and Wyndham to either defer the ticket to a different day that works for them or ask for a refund. So it's very low risk in that aspect.
Okay.
Margaret, you're next.
Ryan?
Yeah, so... Ryan, I just had, I think if you could just describe, I've read the document, obviously, but if you could just describe a little bit of what is involved here, this first iteration, is only for this ski experience, correct?
That's correct, yeah. So the idea is, as we heard from the previous council meetings last year with the tourism board, there was a lack of the ability to tie money spent directly to the lodging tax, right? The idea that this should work in, you put a dollar in, you get $2 or $3 back in terms of your return. This is an experiment. It's a litmus test that by working with Jill at the WIC, specifically who will run the bookings for both the hotels and the tickets at Wyndham, we will know directly that what accountability we've got in terms of saying, yes, people came for the spend and what, and being able to directly tie the lodging tax revenue that we get back for it. Where this has legs is that if this does prove successful, I'd like us to consider what we can do with some of the other municipalities around the county to run similar operations on weekends that, you know, can be a little bit bigger. So whether that's in the fall, apple picking pumpkin season, whether that's a winter walk weekend, or more, you know, how can this be used to basically expand the capabilities with accountability in terms of tourism and locking down lodging taxes?
Okay. So one, I did have a question about how the package is going to be priced. So an individual booking into the WIC, they would be booking for, it would be kind of an all-inclusive thing where the bus is included in their package. Is that correct?
That's correct. The WIC is offering us, I have a separate press release that I've drawn up for this, that the WIC, Wyndham, Second Saturday, Hudson Hall have all weighed in on. The WIC is running, would be offering $199 a night. That includes obviously what we're affording in terms of the transportation. They will also be booking the ticket out of the block of reservations that Wyndham has, right? So their Wyndham is running under capacity restrictions due to COVID. And just for clarity on this call, this was all planned and worked out before Catamount was open and had snow. So if there are any questions of why didn't the money stay within the county, at the time that this was being all put together, Catamount was not yet open.
Okay. So now, I think it's very good. I think there are some other things, like if it indeed is successful, I think something where you had a shuttle where people could go either to Alana or Art Omai or some of those locations, particularly folks coming up from the city without a car. I think people who ski are more likely to have cars, but people coming up the city without a car might be very interested in being able to get to some of those other locations. We could talk about how to structure some of that, but I think in principle it's a very good idea.
Correct. Thank you. And that's what I'm hoping for, is basically a low risk, smaller investment to see how this pays off, and then we've got at least a record and data to build from.
Okay, next, Art Frick has his hand up.
Thank you, Ryan, for putting this motion together. I think it represents a really inspired bridge between sort of public and private, and I really, really think it's quite innovative. One question that I believe Vicky kind of alluded to is that I do feel like we are a little bit tardy to the party in terms of when we're rolling this out. And I was curious to know what the tourism board has planned in terms of marketing and outreach to make sure that we can really like get some eyeballs looking at this thing.
So unfortunately,
in such a short period of time.
I understand. I mean, we're just under 3 weeks, I should say, away. So we've got the Hudson Business Coalition that's going to work with us to send this out. We've already worked with Alex Petraglia to review the release itself. As I mentioned, I wrote the release. For those of you that don't know, I'm a head of communications professionally when I'm not working with you all. Second to that, we have full social media integration happening between Hudson Hall, between the Second Saturday Gallery crew, Art Omai, and with Thomas Cole, as well as the WIC, and everybody that's involved in this, essentially, where they're going to be putting out the package and advertising it. So we've got a wide breadth of viewers that we will reach. And remember, Art, it's only 75 people to book out at max on the bus. So that's why, again, it's very controlled. You know, if it's couples that are coming up, we're looking at 38 people. I'm confident we can get that within 2 weeks.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ryan, for all of the data and all of the thoughtfulness around this. One thing that I would like to throw out there in terms of moving forward with plans like this, I would love to see us really explore things that could be more economically viable for a greater amount of people. And specifically, you know, I mean, we're definitely catering to a specific crowd, right, with this particular package. But I think it'd be interesting to explore what we can do to really be a little bit, cast a broader net in terms of like inclusion.
Yes.
And that kind of thing. But I think this is great, Ryan. Thank you.
Yep.
Let me interrupt here for a second. All these ideas and suggestions for for the future are great, but let's focus on the resolution at hand, please. Theo, you're up next.
I just thought it was really important to get up here and stand up for all those who make Valentine's Day plans really late, or maybe not at all. I just wanted to...
Full awareness. Thank you, Theo.
Yeah, so I just thought it's important to have that voice in the room. I just wanted to say thanks, Ryan, for putting this together. I think it's like a really creative solution for directing municipal resources, incentivizing tourism in like a really hard time of the year. And it's a really cool, I think, pilot and a test for other things that can come down the way. And I don't really see any downside to this. So thanks for putting it together.
Thank you.
Thank you, Theo. Dominic, you have your hand up? Dominic, we can't hear you. Dominic, are you there? Oh, you weren't here. You're muted, Dominic. Well, we'll come back to Dominic. Margaret, you have another question? Or?
Yeah, I just had another question specific to this weekend, Ryan, the 11th, 13th weekend. So it's not a future plan thing. Is there any capability or flexibility in this where the WIC had visitors who didn't want to go on a ski package, but they were interested in having shuttle service to Cole House or Ark Domi or something like that? Is that feasible, or is it too late to even think about that?
It would be too late. The the price has been set to go from one destination direct to another, not to run a route.
Okay. I don't know what's happening with Dominic. I know he's had problems in the past with his communication, but I'm going to call the vote anyway, since that seems to be okay at this point. Tracy, could you roll call vote, please?
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Pascaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Franti.
Dominic, can you hear us?
Maybe you can try calling, Tom.
That's what I'm doing here.
I'll come back, President DiPietro.
Yes.
Morris. More. Yeah. Morris, yes.
Thank you. Saw?
Yes.
Walker? Wallace?
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye. Well,
Alderman Ranty.
Yeah. Dominic, can you hear us? Can you let us? Can you text me if you can hear us, and let us know you're having a problem? Okay. Well, it passes anyway, so I don't think that's an issue. Is it, in your opinion, Tracy?
No, the resolution has carried.
Right. So let's move to the next one. Shaheem, can you post it, please? Okay. This is a resolution authorizing the mayor to issue a request for proposals for the adaptive reuse of the Dunn Warehouse property. Now, let me say, because there is a DRI committee, this doesn't necessarily have to have council approval. But the committee decided very early on that they would bring every RF, RFQ, RFP, whatever it is, to the council, just so that it would be in light of keeping things open and transparent. You were all sent this document, so you've seen the actual the RFP. Having said that, now open to comment. Oh, sorry, let me get an introduction.
I'll introduce Tom Ryan.
Ryan, and a second, please.
Second.
Ooh, a lot of people at once there. Let's try one more time.
Duan,
thank you. okay, so discussion. Okay, Theo Anthony. What? Theo Anthony.
I was gonna say, Tom, sorry, I think you got Alderman Moranti back now.
Dominic, are you there?
Yes. I'm okay. Sorry. For some reason, my screen locked up and it will not let me get out of wherever I was.
Okay. Well, you missed the vote on the first one. It passed, so we didn't need you.
Okay. That's... But I do want to commend Ryan on the effort, and I think this is a great sampling of things to move forward.
Okay. Thank you, Dominic. Theo, you're up.
Yeah, I just had a few questions. Sure. And maybe this is the wrong time to bring it up, but I'll just throw them out there. And if we need to punt it for a different meeting, just say so and we can move on. Okay. But yeah, this is a ground lease, correct, for a tenant to come in and take on a potential 99-year lease, correct?
Well, let me defer. I mean, not defer. Let me bring in Peter Bujano, who crafted this RFP for us, and he will explain it better than I can. Peter, are you there?
Maybe if I just ask all three questions, he'll probably hit them all in the same answer. So should I just ask them?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, rapid fire. So I was just wondering, so if it is a ground lease, if there's going to be any provisions in the RFP regarding rent adjustments for future tenants, and with respect to those future tenants, will the city retain the right to approve the sale of the tenant's leasehold going forward? So if the tenant decides to lease to someone else, will the city have a say in that? Those are the questions.
Yeah, so Theo, hello everyone, it's Peter Bujano. The land lease itself, the actual document is pretty comprehensive. We just mention it here so that the developers understand that's the intent. Once we get to a developer and we get to the next step, we will develop that lease, the ground lease piece, and that will incorporate those suggestions or those comments that you made. It's a very, the document sample that I have comes from New York State Bar Association template, and it's pretty comprehensive. So we'll tailor it to this project, but it will incorporate some things and it'll be reviewed before it gets signed. So it's not part of this proposal being submitted, a ground lease document. It is for the future once we award the project to a developer.
Okay, great, thank you.
Ryan, you're up next.
Thanks, Tom. Peter, awesome job on this as always. Thank you for being our Sherpa through the multi-page documents this all is. I think you got my note about just the one correction in terms of the city of Hudson reserving the right and adding the word reserve back into this. I guess my only other question is, do we want to consider adding in a question in the responses of asking the responders to disclose any relationships they have to either entities or projects that are ongoing within the city of Hudson?
Sure, I can add that. I can incorporate that, yes.
Thank you.
And Margaret.
I just had a question on, Peter, you may know the answer to this. Definition of waterfront property, is that lot considered waterfront as far as the state is concerned?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I didn't hear that one.
Is the building that you, that's, you're requesting the RFP on, is that waterfront property?
It doesn't sit on the water. It's not on the water. It's on Water Street.
I'm just asking if that raises any questions about any permissions that the city needs to embark on this from the state.
Well, it went through the process of the DRI project. So it was selected as one of the projects and it was granted, it was given $1 million plus another $500,000. I think that may have been better, but I would defer to Tom on that question.
Well, I don't. I think it wouldn't be because it's if you look at the lot description, it's separate from the rest of the waterfront property that you know that comprises the park. So it's a separate lot. It's you know if that is if that speaks to it or not.
I'm just looking for what the technical definition is as far as the state is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Theo, do you have another question?
One last one. So the repair costs and the construction cost estimates from 2015, I'm wondering where at what stage in the process do we get an updated repair cost and construction costs? Do we do that before the RFP officially goes out, or do the people bidding come with their own construction cost estimates?
It would be the developer that comes in. They have the understanding. So the previously structural review, structural assessment is part of the package, and they have that as reference. So it has deteriorated most likely since then. And so the developers come in, they have that awareness, and it's up to them to pick up the building and do, it's almost an as-is, where-is project.
But that will happen after they've been selected or before they've been selected.
So they'll come in with a proposal as to what they intend to do with it. And all the costs associated with structural repairs will be on them. It will not be the city's.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
And by the way, you may not know if, I mean, it's in the RFP, but there is grant money that goes towards that repair. A lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a lot. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Vicky, you have a question? Vicky?
Yes. At one point on page four, first of all, the RFP is wonderfully done. Thank you, Peter. Very good job.
Thank you.
On page four, it mentions that it doesn't say that it might be it could be residential use too. On page seven, it says that it mentions residential use. And then I think it's on page five, it says in case of a fire over, there's a destruction over 50%, then the city can possibly terminate the lease. And I'm just wondering if it is a residential, if part of it is used for residential reasons, it's a little bit more responsibility for us. You know, if we decide to terminate the lease, that's all. So I think when it comes to the actual proposal, we may have to put more effort towards that to be clear what the plans would be.
So we'll review that ground lease contract very much in detail. Mm-hmm. I have an idea what it looks like. I've started working on it already. But at this point, you know, we'll make sure we address any concerns you have, and everyone will get a opportunity to review it as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicky. Tracy, let's have a roll call vote, please.
Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Beth Galuti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Moranti.
Aye.
Morris.
Aye.
Barr?
Aye.
Walker?
I just wanted to state to Peter, terrific job on this as well. Aye.
Thank you, Malachi.
Wallace?
Aye.
DiPietro?
Aye.
Harry?
Okay, thank you. Can you take down the screen for now, Malachi, as we get to our next... Okay, I want to make sure, I think all the candidates are here. Let me check. I see one. Oh, there's two. I did not see all the candidates. But anyway, we're now going to vote on a candidate for the ID. The council gets to vote on a citizen representative to the IDA. We're going to do this vote in a very simple fashion. We'll go until there is one person who gets the simple majority of six. And if it doesn't get solved on the first round, we will eliminate the low vote getters and then proceed to the next round. So, meanwhile, if you have questions, some of the candidates are here. I'm trying to see. I see Jane. I see Julie Goldweitz, Jane Trombley, Rebecca Wolf.
Tiffany just joined.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Tiffany just joined.
Oh, there's Tiffany. And Richard Wallace, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I'm here.
Okay. So all five are here. So let's go. Let me try to get this alphabetically. G, Trombley, Wallace, and Wolf. Okay, so the first questions for the first candidate, Tiffany Garriga. I'm doing this alphabetically. Do members of the council have any questions for Tiffany Garriga? Tiffany, would you, since your statement really was just letting us, oh, wait a second, Ryan Wallace.
Yeah, Tom, I had two general questions that I'm hoping that all of the candidates could go through to answer.
Okay.
The first is, you know, thank you for everybody's letters. And I mean, the backgrounds, you know, vary, and, you know, everybody brings a very different but unique experience that would be important to have on the IDA. I would ask, what do you think the biggest challenge has been for the IDA over the past 5 years in total? And where do you feel that in your 2-year term of appointment, you would be most effective in accomplishing something start to finish with the IDA? And we can go alphabetically with that if that's helpful.
Okay. I'm not sure I would ask for a 5-year diagnosis, since some of these people have been unaware of the IDA probably earlier. But Tiffany, would you like to answer that question? You're under no obligation, by the way.
Well, I would say, Ryan, with my experience on the IDA, the challenges were finding the right support and the right candidates to support a pilot that they were looking under that would benefit not only just the city, but people within the city that we support. And what was the second part of your question, Ryan?
In the next 2 years, if you have the appointment, what is something you're confident that you would be able to see through start to finish?
Well, within the next 2 years with my appointment, if I was appointed, I would represent the community as a community member, as I always take that very seriously. And that would be the way I would support my vote if I was a candidate.
Okay, thank you. Oh, sorry. Is that it, Tiffany?
Yes.
Thank you. Julie Goldweitz, would you like to answer those two questions? Yep, you're muted. There you go.
Yep. I would be happy, Ryan, to answer the question specifically going forward. I have been following, even if on the sidelines, quite carefully, much of Hudson politics for years. I've been here full and part-time since the early 80s. I've been a business person of all sorts, and I've seen a very different environment. But going forward, I can't tell you start to finish with respect to a particular project type of activity, but I absolutely would like to help work to ensure a set of very specific guidelines for weighing projects to ensure some sort of consistency across both qualitative and quantitative aspects of a project. I'd also like to, and would promise to really ensure that we have strict performance measures with careful monitoring and demand accountability of all of the recipients with respect to future promises. And I would be entirely objective. I would not bring any of my personal biases, because I think that's really important. We're here to represent the community.
Okay, thank you, Julie. Jane Trombley, would you like to address those questions? Oh, you're muted too.
Hi, Tom, and members of the council. Nice to see you all. I'll address the first question of the last, and I lived in Hudson a scant 5 years, so it's I can't quite, you know, reach into the depths of that time span. But in my observation, I think that one of the things it seems like the IDA, while has not exercised perhaps its mandate as effectively as it could have. And so I think that it is about economic empowerment. It's about spreading those opportunities across as wide a swath as possible. It's about engagement of development and the citizenry. It's about education. So with that observation of the past, what I would suggest going forward, and again, I'm not certain I can speak to a start to finish project either, but I can say that what I am extremely interested in is building upon opportunities for workforce development that already exist. I'm involved in a manufacturing entity in the region. I am, and through that, see opportunities and partnerships that could be beneficial to the city of Hudson, to the surrounding area. We don't live in, you know, in a bubble. We're very much connected to our neighbors in the surrounding area. So I would like to see an opportunity to build upon our strengths and build and work collaboratively with those that are not only here, but look to come here. We have an opportunity with the opportunity zone that I think shows great promise. So that's my answer.
Thank you, Jane. Next, Richard Wallace, would you like to respond?
Yes. Can you hear me, Tom?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I think that the biggest challenge that the IDA has faced in the past number of years, I can speak to two and maybe a few before that. I think that given its mission and given the opportunity to help promote growth and development in Hudson, that the challenge really is that the landscape is changing underneath constantly, not just physically the landscape from development, but, you know, socioeconomically, politically. And so I think it's the challenge for the IDA, and this is the thing that I saw maybe when I came on the board 2 years ago as a community member, is to really reflect what the wishes and what the opportunities are for the Hudson populace as a whole. And given the fact that that's changing, given the fact that there are so many issues, particularly related to housing, for instance, you know, do you upgrade existing housing stock, some of which is warehoused, or do you encourage new developers to come in? These kinds of issues really are all part and parcel of the fact that Hudson is a unique community, and it is going through some common changes and unique changes, and navigating those changes, I think, is the greatest challenge going forward. And I think that's really what the next 2 years would be to become cognizant and mindful of the changes that are taking place in Hudson, and to use whatever position or agency or influence exists within the IDA to try to make sure that whatever decisions are made are really consonant with the wishes of the people of the community and are always in the best interests of the city. my take, Tom.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wallace. And now Rebecca Wolf.
Yeah, I think that the challenge that the IDA has faced has been similar to the whole city council, is just capacity to really take on what are the potential for the IDA to be involved in the community and really make sure that the benefits that are offered by development and by economic growth are actually really delivered to residents of the city. And I think there's a lot of potential for economic growth and development in the city of Hudson that, unless it's really carefully and very intentionally managed, won't actually reach community members that are most impacted by some kinds of development, in terms of, you know, the rising cost of housing and the rising and all of those things. So it's really, I think that the goal of the IDA should be to balance out the development with the delivery of basically the potential for economic stability for residents. That's really what should be delivered. And so I did actually, on the IDA, I did initiate a project to revise the criteria for assessing developments so that it will reflect delivering like equity to the city, basically. So we have begun that project by bringing in a consulting team who can help the IDA develop that criteria. And so my hope is that that project will continue. Also have worked to develop a workforce training program that will be specific to the city of Hudson, because there's a lot of workforce efforts already happening around in the county. There's workforce development programs at Columbia Green and with Questar and Coark, but they don't necessarily really deliver that to city residents, and so for a whole bunch of different reasons. So those are the projects that I think are important for the IDA to continue working on.
Thank you, Rebecca. And I want to thank all five candidates for appearing tonight, for submitting. It's not easy to put yourself forward for anything in Hudson. Moving along, questions. Margaret Morris has a question. Margaret, is for everyone or just?
Well, it's kind of a general question, and I think some of you have responded to this. So in reading your submissions and the things that you were most interested in focusing on, I went back to the source documents. The IDA was formed under Article 18A of the State General Municipal Law. So I went back to that and what the purpose of an IDA is. And it is to encourage and assist in acquiring, constructing, reconstructing, improving, maintaining, equipping, and furnishing industrial, manufacturing, warehousing, commercial, research, renewable energy, and recreation facilities. And so our IDA's stated goal is very much in line with why it was formed: promote, encourage, attract, and develop job opportunities. And a couple of you have spoken about that. I think, Jane, you have talked about that, certainly. And economically sound commerce industry throughout the city. So is there anything that any of you would like to add that really focuses in on your background and why you think that you would be really focused on the purpose of the IDA as it was formed under state municipal law? So if you can just go around, Tom, and ask each of the candidates if there's anything else they want to add in that context.
Well, Rebecca has raised her hand. You're muted, though, Rebecca.
Yep. So, Margaret, just to click, so you're asking what is it that we would like to see happening in the IDA specifically about creating jobs?
Well, what I'm asking is, You know, the purpose of the IDA is to, our IDA, promote, encourage, attract, and develop job opportunities and economically sound commerce and industry throughout the city. That's the core mission.
Yep.
So yeah. If you want to speak to anything else you want to add that yeah. is focused on that mission.
Sure. I mean, I do think that's one of the most exciting potentials of the IDA is that with the development of a really strong criteria and sort of profile of what, you know, how the city wants development to go, which can be characterized in a lot of different ways, but which takes a lot of thought and a lot of attention, then the kinds of industrial or, you know, other kinds of developments that would potentially bring like more, I guess I'm going to use the word innovative kinds of job opportunities to the city. We could actually work to attract those kinds of developments rather than just be sort of receiving proposals and seeing what comes down the pike, which could potentially lead us into a situation where we only have, you know, hospitality development coming to us. So so I think that's one really important thing. And then just for the general council, I mean, we haven't really described what it is that happens when a proposal comes to the IDA, but essentially there's a trade-off offered from developers, like in exchange for this tax abatement, we will provide X number of jobs. And, you know, as Julie alluded to, there is definitely a gap between the promise that is made and the enforcement of that promise, and like essentially making sure that jobs really come in a way that actually affects people's lives and livelihoods.
Thank you, Rebecca. Jane, you want to respond to Margaret's? And you're muted.
And no picture. Yeah, thank you, Tom. Margaret and the others. I really would like to see an IDA that is more proactive than reactive. A proposal comes in and, you know, the entity responds to it. And as Rebecca alluded to, there's a trade-off. I don't know if this is possible, but I think that there is an opportunity to attract a broader array of entities and industries, so it isn't just siloed in hospitality, and that there's opportunities in tech-related things, tech-related businesses, manufacturing, other elements of tourism that could broaden the economic base of the city and the workforce opportunities that go along with such broadening. So whether it is a sort of we're open for business campaign, or we're supporting our existing business and cultivating new ones, I don't know. I don't know what the mechanics are, actually. So I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I think there's an opportunity to be proactive, and that's the point I want to make. Thanks.
Any other responses to Margaret's question?
Sorry.
You took it down, but okay. Go ahead, Tiffany. You muted yourself.
Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
So with the IDA, we have different applicants that come forward, and we have to make sure, you know, what benefits the city as well as the residents. The main key is to, once pilots are passed, is to maintain and stay on top and make sure that what was passed and what was agreed upon actually takes place. Some pilots get passed and it's over with as far as paperwork is done, but we just need to make sure that everything that's in document as far as jobs and the creativity of the pilot maintains the same way.
Thank you, Tiffany. Rebecca, rather than have you respond again to the same question, another council member has a question. Amber Harris.
So, you know, in this area, we have like a large number of sort of like community colleges, with a lot of like manufacturing, construction majors. So if any of you consider sort of like reaching out to those programs, I know Rebecca, you said you've worked with workforce at Columbia Green, but like what work have the rest of you done to sort of reach out to like Columbia Green, like SUNY Schenectady, Hudson Valley, have a lot of those programs. So like what work have you guys done to sort of integrate those programs back into the community?
Thank you, Amber. Rebecca, since your hand's up already, you will respond. You're muted.
Okay, thank you. There you go. That's a great question. And I mean, I think that I wanted to actually just say the thing I was going to say first, and then I'll respond to that question if you don't mind, just because sure. They're related, actually. Okay. So I think another criteria that needs to be developed in the IDEA is about environmentally sound and sustainable development, because that's something that the whole city and the county are going to need to face up to very quickly, as you know, state mandates and federal mandates begin to roll towards requiring different building construction standards to essentially meet what we're dealing with climate change. And another track that I think the IDEA can really start to focus on, both in terms of its criteria that it develops for how it judges proposals, so an environmental criteria, but then also to be working on developing like green trades training programs. And that's something that the Columbia Green construction program, they're going to be working, I think, towards making that part of their curriculum. And so I think that, you know, the more that the IDEA can work with existing programs and kind of try to bring whatever expertise is already in development and already teaching students to actually the city of Hudson, the better. So that's
okay. Art Frick has a question.
Yeah, so this is generally to all of the candidates. And I do want to commend all of you for, you know, going through the gauntlet of questions, and I appreciate it. So in the 2-year term as the community member of the IDEA, what are you going to do to activate and listen to the community that you're tasked with representing? Like, how are you going to be like inclusive and thoughtful and like pragmatic in approach to all of the citizens?
So who wants to answer that?
I'll take it.
Okay, Richard.
Take a whack at it.
Richard,
yeah,
first.
Having been in the position for 2 years, number one, so representing the community on the Hudson IDEA is the other positions are all officers related to the business of the city. This position isn't directly related. It's really a citizen's position. And so my view always has been, as I've come to be a resident of Hudson, and in a way, it's what's led me here, service on this board and continuing interest in it. And that is that really our job is to be the best citizens that we can in the community. It means to step up when there's an opportunity to step up, whether it's in a political or a non-political or a community or civic kind of a way. So I've tried to do that in the last 2 years. So a lot of this in terms of, you know, I call it taking the temperature of the community, or sometimes trying to get a sense of the conscience of the community. And to do that, you know, you look and read all the things that are published in public places. You look and read what's going on in some of the pages, community pages in social media. In my particular case, I live downtown on Warren Street, So I have an opportunity to walk Warren Street, and occasionally when I had the opportunity, I would bump into somebody and I could start a discussion that way. So for me, it was really a matter of gathering people's thoughts, their feelings, their and then public hearings. These are all of these projects ask for public input and are associated with have public hearings attached to them. The public doesn't always turn out in any great numbers for these. So if there was one thing I would say that perhaps board member, community board member could do, it would be to try to heighten this outreach to the community when there is a public hearing and with more information about really what's at issue, what's at stake. I know a lot of times these things just look like black boxes that get voted up and down because and they cost this much or that. But they all have implications to the future, present and future development of the city. So, again, representing the community, I'd like to see more and more people turning out from the community to provide input for these projects. That's my take.
Thank you, Richard. Rebecca was up next to answer that. You're muted. There you go.
You don't have to remind me.
Oh, sorry.
You've done purpose. I was really happy that with the most recent proposal that was before the IDA, a grassroots community group formed called the Community Benefits Alliance, which, it was formed in specific response to that one proposal, but I think that hopefully it will continue to pay attention to all the development that's coming before the IDA and before the city. And, I think it's really important that there be a really strong and clear, voice for the community to be in dialogue with the IDA about these developments.
Thank you, Rebecca. And Tiffany would like to respond.
Thank you. Yes, as a former person that was on the Council and the IDA, one of my great strengths was communicating with the community. And during our last several pilots on the IDA, there was a great amount of people in the community with their say and what they would like to see and be a part of in the future. That's one of the key things is communicating. Not just in your surrounding area, but throughout the city, and to maintain that community relationship, and also communicating with different non-for-profits organizations in the city that support the community. To have those open dialogues and to be present during all the meetings and during the public hearings especially is extremely important. And to represent what the community wants and not what you want is what's really important as a representative of the committee on the IDA.
Thank you, Tiffany. I think Julie had her hand up.
I wasn't sure how do I say I want to speak.
Yeah, well, there's a way, but we won't go into that right now. You can raise your hand. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. What, as a community representative, I would bring a lot of rigor to what is being considered, in addition to keeping my ear to the ground and learning how to attend more community outreach types of activities. I do feel that my background would give me a great leg up to assist the IDA in the kind of rigor that needs to be used to approach all sorts of proposals once they come in and to think about what could be done. I've spent 30 years as a quick study reviewing lots of transactions and engaged in them. And I also, in order to be successful, have learned a lot about bringing people together and collaborating and being cooperative. And I would bring all of those skills with the kind of rigor and energy that I approach everything that I do, including the research that I actually did to come and talk to all of you to look into all of the pilots that have happened that are in progress. Well, actually, most of them are done, but I went all the way back and looked at everything, and I would continue to do that sort of research and approach everything with that sort of approach.
Thank you. And lastly, Jane Trombley. Oh, you're muted. Sorry.
Yep. No time. I would just like to remind everybody who's on this call that unlike representing the citizens on the Common Council, which is a direct relationship between one's constituency and the council, and there's a direct relationship of accountability, this role is being decided by you all. And so therefore it's sort of one step removed, if you will, from the citizens of Hudson. They are relying upon you as the collective Common Council to select the person that is most capable to represent the community on this very important board. So I think that it is, I think what Julie has just said is very instructive to that point, that whomever you pick brings the kind of skills and the background and the sort of the gravitas about employment opportunities and workforce engagement and partnerships and some experience in something other than hospitality, perhaps, and see sort of the bigger picture of opportunity rather than being so focused on representing, you know, a group of citizens or, you know, a specialized, you know, voice within the community. I think it's really, really important that whoever is selected this evening has that sort of 30,000 foot view and understands what's in the best interest of all the citizens of Hudson in terms of the economic development of the city of Hudson, not somebody's, you know, axe to grind. So I know you'll put a lot of thought and judgment in this in the next 20 minutes. And that's what I would ask each of you to do, is consider the qualifications and the skills that each of the candidates bring. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane. And with that, Tracy, can we have a roll call vote, please? I mean,
is this a roll call?
I'm sorry, not a roll call vote, but a vote.
So, sorry, Tom, just to be clear, in this vote, you're going to ask us to state who we are voting for. Is that
correct?
Right?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Tracy? Do you want me to do it?
Alderman Anthony. Oh. That's
fine.
Either way.
Now, go ahead.
Alderman Anthony.
I just wanted to say something real quick before I cast my vote. What I lack in experience, I am making up for an alphabetic privilege. I just wanted to say that I'm enthusiastically casting my vote for Rebecca Wolf. I wanted to thank everyone else for coming forward. I'm really drawn. Rebecca has really shown the tenacity to pursue grants, bringing in $1 million through the Enterprise Community Foundation. She was the key member of the community that drafted the Affordable Housing Development Plan, which I know is separate, but it shows where her values are. I think she's shown the capacity to really, really dive into the weeds while maintaining a vision of how Hudson can grow sustainably. I think she's done so with flexibility. I think she's done so with tenacity, and I think she's done so with resiliency. And I think she's done an incredible thing for our city, and I think she would really do an incredible job on the IDA. So I enthusiastically cast my vote for Rebecca Wolf, and I hope the rest of my council members agree as well. So.
Hi, I'm sorry I have issues with my Zoom again. I do want to say these are great candidates, and they all answered extremely well. I want to thank them for putting the effort. I'm going to go with Richard Wallace because I feel that he has the experience. He's been at the IDA
Actually, she was just elected as a secretary, although we can have new secretaries, but I feel comfortable with that vote, so I'll go with him.
Frick?
I'll go with Tiffany Garrigo.
Harry?
I'm casting my vote for Richard Wallace.
Oranti?
I also want to thank everyone for stepping up for the choices. I want to say that with Mr. Wallace, I think stands out for his last few years serving respectively. He's just been elected on as secretary, and I think with his community interest and willingness to stay out of work and serving respectively, I hope for Richard Wallace.
Maureen?
Yes, I also want to thank everyone for coming out this evening and being so open in the discussion. I'm casting my vote for Jane Trombley.
Roni?
Thanks to all the candidates who reached out to the council to express their interest. And I think you've given very great answers as to some of the concerns that we have regarding this role and how it will play a role in shaping the future of Hudson for everybody involved. Along with some of my other colleagues, I also feel that Mr. Wallace brings a plethora of experiences as well as desire to stay kind of politically neutral in deciding how this is going to play out, and that's why I'm voting for Mr. Wallace.
First, I'd like to thank all the five candidates, and I know they are well qualified for this position, and it's nothing personal, but I need to pick something for the best of our city and future. So Richard Wallace has experience before, and I think he's well qualified for this position. So I cast my vote for Richard Wallace.
Walker?
Yes, I also want to thank everybody that came out and showed interest in the position. I'm sure any one of you would have been, great candidates to represent Hudson. I feel that, it came down to two people for me personally, with Rebecca and Tiffany being the two who I feel, their vision is sort of like the same to me. And I think it, represent the people for me and their goals and, just their understanding of what's needed in the city. But if I can, really just answer the question. although Tiffany Garriga, she shows to me, a lot of people may say it's, personality, a certain personality of hers. To me, it equals the passion. So I feel that, the love that she shows the community and, just the work that she's done already. And not to say that, other people did not do the work. Like I said, Rebecca, I highly respect everything you've done for the city of Hudson. And, I commend you on that. But I think Tiffany would be best suited for the position.
Wallace?
I'll echo everybody in terms of thanking everybody for applying and putting yourselves out there. Of note, I very much want to thank Julie, because your background is stunning in terms of what it can offer the city. I am going to vote along the lines of experience and cast my vote for Richard Wallace. However, Julie, this is definitely not the end of a conversation between us. as the chair of the IDA, there are a few things I think I would like to bring up at our next meeting. If you do have the time, I would invite you to please come and join us for it.
President DiPietro.
Well, I must say that does it, actually. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Richard Wallace is elected. But I'm not going to close out the vote without making it clear that I will vote for Rebecca Wolf. Rebecca Wolf, I have followed the IDA. I was on the IDA. And I can attest that Rebecca Wolf has done more on the IDA than anyone. And to echo what Theo said, her abilities have gone beyond the IDA as a council member in terms of getting a grant. And more importantly, what she's done on the IDA. Anybody who's followed it carefully knows that she initiated so many projects on the IDA in terms of making sure that they had new standards for giving pilots, to name one, the workforce development project that she did. So anyway, I vote for Rebecca. Obviously, she doesn't get it, but that's where we are. So I think with that, we're done, since we have a six-vote majority.
Excuse me, President.
Oh, right, we have to. No, right, we have to. Go ahead.
I believe we would need a roll call vote to appoint.
Right. Exactly. Sorry.
To finish the resolution.
That's right. We have to do the resolution. So, let's move towards the resolution, and I need an introduction for the resolution. Just
Art will introduce.
Codifies what we've done. So,
I can.
Art
will introduce. Yep.
Art was the first, and who was that second?
Ronnie,
thank you. So, a roll call vote, please, Tracy. This is a resolution.
Go ahead.
This is a resolution appointing Richard Wallace, as we've just voted.
Thank you. Alderman Anthony.
Aye.
Buscaluti.
Aye.
Frick.
Aye.
Harris.
Aye.
Ferranti.
Aye.
Forrest. Aye.
Roney.
Aye.
Farr.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
President DiPietro.
Aye.
Harry.
Okay, and that's it for tonight's meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes, a motion to adjourn.
Rebecca has her hand up.
Yeah, that I'm sorry, we're not taking comments. That was clear. This, you know. Motion, Dewan, second?
Second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Anyone on the council opposed? Okay, thank you all for coming out for a special meeting. Oh, and one last comment. Patiently sitting there has been Michael Tucker. Let me tell you, as someone who was on the IDA when we hired Michael Tucker, he's done the greatest work to get this agency in shape, because it was on the verge of being, I don't know what the term would be, but put aside or closed. Mike got us up to snuff, got them up to snuff, and continues to serve in that capacity. And with that, thank you all. Good night.
Thank you, Michael.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, Dal.